Well, just while the band is sitting down, we're going to get our Bibles open now. The Bible's at the heart of what we do as we gather for worship, as we believe we hear God's voice, we believe we hear Him speaking to us. And so this morning we're in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you have an electronic device, you can turn there. If you want a paper Bible, please just put a hand up and one of our team will bring you one. 1 Corinthians 15. And just while you're turning to there, can I just give a quick book plug? So this morning we wrap up our series thinking about work together from the scriptures. And there's a little book which we've managed to get hold of. There's 10 copies of it currently on the welcome desk. They're £5 each. It's a book called Revolutionary Work. And it will take you through some of the things we've looked at on a Sunday morning. It will talk about some of the other things that are connected with work. It's a great little book. It's actually written by the pastor of the church that Wes goes to. So £5 on the welcome desk, highly recommend it. It's a great book. 1 Corinthians 15. So if you've been with us on a journey so far through September, we have been, rather than our normal habit of going through books of the Bible, we have been diving in and out of parts of the Bible to listen in to what God has to say about work. What does He say about this thing that most of us go about all the time, whether we're paid for it or unpaid, recognized or unrecognized, we're all working. What does God have to say about it? And this morning we're going to kind of close it off with thinking about another type of work that we're called to. So 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 to 11 and then the last verse of the chapter. Now brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, not now, but when this letter was written, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, that is Paul who's writing, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. The rest of the chapter is glorious. He goes on to talk about resurrection, the certainty of the resurrection, and not just Jesus' resurrection, but the certainty that gives us for a future resurrection, that the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will one day be raised to life. And as he pronounces resurrection, as he says it's coming, this is where he finishes. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and seek God's help together, shall we, as we study this portion of his word. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is living and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. And Lord, your word can do things in us and change our attitudes and our hearts and our actions. And Lord, we would ask that this portion of your word would be changing us today, changing our priorities, changing our hearts, changing our timetables, changing the way we think about Monday. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got two pictures on the screen here. Sorry for those who are listening back on this online because you won't see these pictures, but here's the thing. I wonder, as you look at these pictures, if you can relate to the people in these pictures. Maybe not. It's amazing that the man feels a little bit more frustrated than the woman. She looks remarkably in control, but the man is juggling out things. But actually, isn't it true that a life can feel so often like a juggling act with all the different bits of work that we've got to do, all the jobs that we've got going on in our lives? I suspect for many of us in this room, we have got demanding jobs that we need to do. But then there's also perhaps the busyness of home life, maybe caring for elderly parents or looking after younger children. Perhaps there's all that paperwork that you never get round to. You come in and out of the house and you've got mountains of bills that need paying and insurances to reconnect with. And life just feels like a juggling act where there's all these bits of work. There's the house that needs maintenance. There's that door handle that's been hanging off for 50 years. And you think, I really should get round to it. And the problem is, isn't it, for most of us in this room, that life feels like a juggling act. We're juggling all these different bits of work that we've got to do. Have you ever felt like that? No, it's just me then, yeah? That's good. But the thing is, in life, if we're to get through life, the reality is that most of us need to learn to be job jugglers, don't we? With all the different bits that we've got going on, we need to learn to juggle all these different bits of work, good work, that we've got to do. Or perhaps we would use the phrase, we've got to learn to be multitaskers. We've got to multitask in the things that we've got going on in our life, whatever our work is, whether that is paid or unpaid work. Whether that is recognized work or it is unrecognized work, whether you're at school or whether you're retired here this morning, all of us probably in some fashion have to learn to be job jugglers, to manage out the many bits of work that we've got going on. The reality is that most of us have got lots of good things, lots of work things to be getting on with, but we've got to be doing them all at the same time. Now, without trying to crush some of you this morning who are already feeling like, I'm going to drop a ball somewhere along the line, some bit of work's going to get missed. Without trying to crush some of you this morning who are already feeling like you're juggling too many things, I want to show you this morning that the Lord Jesus actually throws another ball into the mix. That there's another bit of work that he calls his disciples to. Another bit of work that he wants us to be juggling with all the other work that he calls us to. It is a job that he has for you this morning if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. It's a job that he has for you whether you're retired or whether you're working on your flat out or whether you're at school. He has work for us to do. And what is that work? Well, it's the work that we're introduced to in 1 Corinthians 15. It's the work of the Lord. See, look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, just halfway through. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully, now here it is, to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And the question we've got to ask this morning is, well, what is this work of the Lord? What is this job that he calls us to be juggling with all the other work that we've got on our plates at the moment in this church family? What is this job that he calls his followers to give ourselves to fully? What is this work of the Lord? Now, before we go further, I guess we need to understand it, don't we? You can't go and do a job unless someone tells you what the job is to do. It's nothing more frustrating in a workplace, is it, when someone says, can you go and do this? And you think, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it is that I'm meant to be doing. And so we've got to get our heads around this morning. Okay, Jesus is through the scriptures calling every one of us in this room this morning to be part of this work, the work of the Lord. But what is it, Jesus? Well, the work of the Lord is not to be confused with the work that we do as for the Lord. That's the work we've been thinking about through September. So that the work that many of us do in this room, whether it's kind of changing nappies or chairing meetings, that work, that the work that we give ourselves to, we plow our creativity into, our words and our breath, that work we are to do as serving the Lord, as if he'd asked us to do it himself. Now, the work of the Lord is not to be confused with that work. The work of the Lord is another job. It's a different task. It's a task that the Lord Jesus is calling us to this morning. And we need to understand that this job that he's calling us to is one that he wants us to juggle with the other work that we do as for the Lord, whether that's your paid employment or the things that you've got to do in your retirement or whatever it may be. And so what is the work of the Lord? Well, actually, it's the work that we see the Apostle Paul engaged in chapter 15 of Corinthians. So come back with me to chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. The work of the Lord, this work that he's calling us to, the work of Jesus, because he is the Lord, is the work of preaching the gospel to others. Or as he puts it in verse 3, if you look at the start there, passing it on. To pass on this message. It is to spread the message that he spells out for us in verse 3 and 4. It is to pass on the message to those that we live amongst and work amongst that Christ died for our sins. It is to declare a message that there is a hero, an anointed one, a savior who walks onto the scene of this world because there is a problem. There is a problem with our world. It is what the scriptures call sin. It is a problem that keeps us at a distance from God. And we are to declare a message that Christ, Jesus, came into this world and was crucified for our sins, to deal with this problem that keeps you and I at a distance from God. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He really died. He was really in the grave. He really entered the place that all of us are destined for. And yet on the third day, he was raised from the grave. He was exalted according to the scriptures, according to the promises of God. This was always his plan. He was raised on the third day and he was seen. He was seen by many. This is not a myth. This is eyewitness accounts of the one who was raised to life. And our job, the work of the Lord, is to pass on that message to the world around us. And the implications of that message is that the Lord Jesus, who was raised from the dead, is now the one who promises to raise all who trust in him to life. He will swallow death up in victory. And if you've got time, go read the rest of chapter 15 later. He will swallow death up in victory, and all who have trusted him will celebrate a great victory. Amen? And that, friends, is the gospel that we're to pass on to people. And simply this morning, if you see that, and we in this room are perhaps are privileged to that, but that is a message that when you take your stand on it, that is the language that Paul uses, when you put your full weight on it, it is a message that will save you. You see, he says that, that's verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, because they've taken their stand on it. And I want to ask you this morning, some of you in this room, have you believed that message? Have you believed the message that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised, and he was seen by many? And if you have believed that message, then this is the message that the Lord, that he wants us to labor and work to bring to others. In chapter 9, I'm just going to whiz you through some references just so that you get the point. Okay, chapter 9, verse 1, as Paul speaks to these Christians, he asks them a question. He says, are you not the result of my work in the Lord? See, this is his work. He came to them. He preached the gospel to them. And here they are. They take their stand on this gospel, and suddenly they're caught up in this great salvation story. Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? And then again in chapter 16, in fact, you can flick to this one, it's just over the page. Chapter 16, verse 10, he introduces us to a young man named Timothy, a partner in the work of the Lord. And look how he describes him at the very end of verse 10. He says, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. This is a unique job. And throughout the New Testament, the sharing of gospel ministry is referred to with terms like work and labor and toil, the very words that we've been seeing apply to the things we do every day. But now he says, no, these also apply to the work of the Lord. And that work, if I was to try and summarize it this morning, has two kind of dimensions to it. It is the dimension of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with all around us. But it is also the work of serving the church that gospel creates. You see that? That's the work of the Lord, sharing the gospel and serving the church that gospel, when it is believed, creates. And even Jesus himself, you see, talks about it as work. If you're kind of know John's gospel at all, you'll know that Jesus uses the language of work over and over again to talk about what he came to do. In John chapter 4, when he's chatting to the Samaritan woman and she goes off and the disciples come back, he tells them that I've got to do the work that I've been set to do. That work of going to the cross, that work of proclaiming God's word to the world. In John 17, he refers to his work of salvation as work, the work that the Father had set him to do. In Matthew chapter 9, and in Luke 10, sorry, I'm throwing all these out, but I want to convince you of this, okay? Matthew 9, Luke 10, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. There are so many people around us who need to hear the gospel, but the workers, see the language? The workers are few. Those who are going to give themselves to this, labor for it, are few. What is the work of the Lord? What is this great work that he has set us to do? This great work that Jesus himself from heaven is administrating and running here on this earth? It is the work of sharing the gospel and serving the church that the gospel creates. Jesus calls us this morning, he calls you to join him in that work. What a privilege. He's got a job for you. He's got a job. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't need another job. Some of you are thinking, I'd love something to do. But actually, he's got a work that he wants all of us to be involved in. And this job is one that he calls us to juggle with all the other jobs that we do, whatever those jobs are. And it's a job that he often calls us to do at the very same time as all the other jobs we're doing. That's the difference with this work. He calls us to do it at the very same time, even as we were hearing from Wes, in the work that we were doing. So we may have a job, or we may be taking the kids to school, or we may be sorting out something at the doctor's surgery. In those bits of work, we can be doing the work of the Lord as well. And it's this work that we are asked as Christians this morning, look at the language 1 Corinthians 15:58, to always give ourselves to fully. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? That's where I think I felt the bite this week. Is it's not just, oh, here's a bit of work for you to do, you know, dip into it when you like. What does Jesus ask of us? Always give yourselves to it fully. We've all seen people who give themselves to something, haven't we? Before I injured my foot recently, I was running over at Grovelands Park Run Southgate, and I was over there, and I met this guy who was training for ultra-distance marathons. I mean, I think a marathon's far enough, but these are kind of stupidly long marathons, and I think a marathon's a stupid distance anyway, but just don't want to get Jim's eyeball over there. But he was, you'd look at this guy, I got chatting to him, and you'd think, here is a man who's giving himself to something. Every waking moment he had when he wasn't at work, he was training for this ultramarathon. He'd given himself to it. He was juggling it out with his family life. He was juggling it out with his job that he had in the city. He would run to work. He would run home from work. He'd do all sorts of training at the weekend. He was juggling it out because he'd given himself to it. You can see it. When someone is taken by something, you see it. And the same is true in the workplace, isn't it? You'll know people, you'll have people perhaps in your workplaces who have given themselves to it. They work overtime, they're burning the candle both ends, they've got training courses coming out their ears because they want to get to the next level, and maybe they've even switched jobs because it means they get to a better place. But that's what the Lord Jesus calls us to be like when it comes to the work of the Lord. He wants us to give ourselves to it so that people watching on would say, wow, this really matters to them. This is something they're giving themselves to. You see, as you look at verse 58, it says there, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now, this is one of those amazing translation things. Do you know how many words that is in the original language? One. It's one of those funny translation things. There's one word. But what it means is abound and excel in and overflow in this work of the Lord, this work that he set us to do. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and I'm aware that all of our lives are different, and we've all got different things on our plates, and we're all doing, but I just want us to hear the challenge of the scripture this morning. Could you be described, honestly, as someone who is giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, to serving the church that the gospel has created, to sharing that gospel with others? Would you say that perhaps you're more of a participator on that work, or are you more of a spectator on that work? That's a challenge, isn't it? Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now, of course, trying to live that out, trying to work out what that means for each of us is going to look very different for whoever we are and whatever we've got going on. You know, this is not kind of one size fits all. I'm not standing here this morning and saying, look, guys, you've all got to give up your jobs. You've all got to become full-time Christian workers in, you know, some country somewhere. I'm not saying that. For some of you, that may be the case. But actually, we've got to work this out. What does it look like for me, for you, to give yourselves to this work of sharing the gospel and serving the church where he has put you? And just to kind of just give a bit of variety to that, okay? Just to comfort you. There are loads of different ways in the New Testament you see people giving themselves to this. But the important thing is that the Lord Jesus wants each of us here to break a sweat, genuinely. He wants us to break a sweat for that work because he wants us to give ourselves to it. Let me just take you through some of the things. Here's a variety to encourage you how you might get involved, okay? So if you are the sort of Bear Grylls type character who loves a bit of adventure, who loves a bit of adrenaline, then let me introduce you to a man named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus we meet in Philippians 2 and verse 30. And we are told in Philippians 2 verse 30 that he is a man who risked his life for the work of the Lord. Now, for some of you here, you might think, yes, I want to be a bit of an Epaphroditus. I want to be a man who risks my life, who almost dies for this work of taking the message of Jesus to others. And friends, there are plenty of people who are doing that in our world right now. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's how you're to be called to this work of the Lord. Anyone up for the Bear Grylls thing this morning? Well, shall I move on to someone else then? Let's turn over the page. That's Epaphroditus. Let's turn to Ephesians 16 and let's look at verse 15 and 16. Here you meet a man named Stephanas. Look at him. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, submit yourselves to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Stephanas, well, he's not the kind of risking his life man for it, but he gives himself to serving the church. He's the person who's always there welcoming. He's got people around his home all the time, because he's showing hospitality. He wants to help at things because he wants people to hear about the Lord Jesus. Stephanas and his household, they've given themselves to it in their home, in their house, in their life that they've got around them. Maybe you could be a Stephanas this morning. Romans 16, you don't need to turn there, but keep yourself in 1 Corinthians 15. But in Romans 16, you get this glorious list, real people, really, that Paul is writing to. And he goes through this list and he says, you know, greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so. And here we meet people, let me just throw out three of the names. You meet a lady named Mary, a lady named Tryphena and Tryphosa and Peris. And what does he say about these ladies? He says, greet them, because they have worked very hard in the Lord. They've given themselves to this work. And I want to ask you this morning, how are you giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord? How are you seeking to share the gospel with others around you? How are you playing your part in that great work that Jesus is doing? How are you serving the church? I'm not just talking about getting your name on a rota. Oh, yeah, you know, I'll get on a rota and then I'll be serving the church. I'm talking about, how are you serving the people that you're sitting around? How are you giving yourself to them? How are you praying for them? How are you concerned for them? How are you trying to build people up? You see, one of Paul's great concerns, if you look at chapter 15, verse 58, is that these Christians are not moved. How are you playing your part in helping the people in this room not to be moved from the hope held out to us in the gospel? You see, this is an instruction to the church. And before you think Paul's being unreasonable, you know, you might be sitting there thinking inside now, because sermons are always a dialogue, by the way. You may be having a conversation, we're just hearing one side of it. Now, here's the thing. You may be sitting in there and thinking to yourself, I'd like to have it out with the Apostle Paul. Do you know how busy I am? Do you know what it's like, Paul, and you're calling me to this other job? Are you trying to crush me? Well, no, because Paul makes this instruction to people who had jobs. You've got to remember, he's writing this letter not to a room full of pastors who've given up their jobs, who've got the luxury to do that and spend all their time doing the work of the Lord. No, he's writing it to ordinary people who had work to do, who were slaves and had to serve in their households, who were masters and had to look after the sort of estates and all those kind of things. He writes to ordinary people, and he's saying, look, this is a command. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. This is a command for working people, for people who have jobs, for people who have busy lives, who are trying to juggle other things. And what that will mean, if you're still tuned into this, what that will mean is that sometimes doing the work of the Lord will have to be fitted in around the other work that we have to do. So it'll have to be slotted in. So you may have, you know, you may have busted a gut. You may be one of these people who has to leave home at 7 in the morning and you don't get back in the door till 7 at night. And then you're thinking, man, I've only got half an hour and then I've got to be out at Grow Group, or I've got to be out at the prayer meeting and I'm exhausted. And, you know, and you're thinking, I can't do this. But in those moments, giving ourselves to the work of the Lord may mean, no, but I've got to go to Grow Group because I've got to encourage my brothers and sisters tonight. I've got to be there to pray with them. And it'll be deflating and discouraging if I'm not there. And so you may exhaust yourself by just committing to go to something. It may mean you've had a long week, but there's something at church on a Saturday and you're thinking, I want to go and help with that, even though I'm exhausted, because I want people to hear about the gospel. We may have to fit it in around other things that we do. But for some of us, it might also mean that we can do this very work of the Lord in our work. You know, maybe your work is just kind of fitting in doctor's appointments. Maybe your work is having people into your home who are caring for you. And in those very places, or in the workplaces you go, we can take the good news of Jesus to others. To give myself fully to the work of the Lord will mean that I may be looking around my workplace prayerfully for people I want to share Jesus with, who I want to tell Christ died for my sins and rose again, and I want to be looking around. I may notice that somebody is not quite right at work, and I think I'll go and ask them later how they are. Being different in the workplace is one of the ways that we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It might mean that you start to look at your salary a bit different. Most of us are earning money just to pay the bills, in reality, aren't we? But it may mean that you start to think, hey, listen, I'm earning a salary here. I'm working hard in my job, and I'm getting some money for it. And I'm going to work because I want to give some of that away to the work of the Lord. I want to make sure that people hear the gospel. You know, I'm going to support some people who are taking the gospel to people overseas who've never heard it. And it changes the way you work. Your salary's not your own. You can use it for the work of the Lord. You can be a participator. I'm reminded of Henry Hines. Anyone know the story of Henry Hines? Hines Baked Beans? He was a devout Christian man. And what an amazing man he was. You know, he was earning loads of money, and yet he only took from the company what he needed to live on so that he could give the rest away to the work of the Lord. What an example. Next time you eat your baked beans, think of Henry Hines. But he gave himself fully to the work of the Lord. And I'm aware of the realities of this, okay? I have friends who in real life are juggling jobs. They're bivocational, trivocational, some of them. And if you work like that, you're going to have diary clashes, you're going to have priority clashes, you're going to have loyalty clashes. But what is true for my friends when they have multiple jobs, I have to say to you, is equally true when we're devoting ourselves to the work of the Lord. We will encounter clashes, diary clashes, priority clashes, loyalty clashes. Because this is a work that we're to give ourselves to. So will you look at me again at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58? Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He calls it labor. That word means to expend yourself, exhaust yourself. Think of Jesus. Would you say he was a man who expended himself for this work? Yes, I think we would, wouldn't we? He expended himself to the point of giving his life, but you'd often see him in the Gospels exhausted and lying in a boat, shattered because he'd given himself all day to people, to helping people and serving people. See, will you expend yourself? Will I expend myself for this great work of the Lord, to see people saved, to see the church built up and strengthened? And just as I finish, very briefly, I want to give you two reasons. If you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I can see that. Let me give you two reasons why you should do it. And they're deeply rooted in this passage. Here's reason number one. You should give yourself to the work of the Lord because this is the gospel that has saved you. This work of the Lord is something that you've been bound up in. You've got caught up in if you've believed this message. See, look at the very first word of verse 58. What's the very first word? Just check you're still alive. Therefore. Now, as a Bible reading tip, if you see a word therefore, you've always got to ask what it's there for. Why is it? What's the link? And so you've got to go backwards and say, well, what have you been saying? And here's the link. He says, look, Jesus is real. The gospel is real. Resurrection is real. He was seen by many. Jesus really is doing something in this world, and he is going to swallow up death. And you, friends, believe it. And you, friends, have been caught up in it. You have been bound up in this work of the Lord that Jesus is doing. You are a recipient of this great grace. Therefore, because you have received this grace, because you are going to be part of this victory, therefore, give yourself fully to this work. Friends, that's why we should do it, because we have received this great message. We have been saved because the Lord is at work in our world. Friends, give yourself to that work because you've tasted that it is good. And here's the second reason. Why give yourself to this? Because this is the gospel that will save others. Just look with me again at verse 58, that very last sentence. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, preaching the gospel is not a waste of time. Why? Because it's based on something real. Jesus really rose from the dead. He really was seen by many. He really was crucified for our sins. And because that is real, and because we know he's coming again, you are not wasting your time when you try and speak to someone in the workplace about Jesus, when you exhaust yourself for the work of the Lord in some way. This is an eternal thing. And people's eternity may depend upon you being fully involved in this work of the Lord's. This is the way that the people will inherit the kingdom, eternal value in doing this work. I give my time. If you were to kind of take a note of my diary, I give my time and my energy, excuse me, to all sorts of things. But there is nothing more valuable, nothing of more eternal value than being involved in the work of the Lord. So friends, will you, look at verse 58 one last time. Will you always, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever time of day it is, will you always give yourselves fully, labor for it, expend yourself for it, exhaust yourself for it, for the work of the Lord, sharing the gospel and seeing the church served? Will you give yourself to that? And will you keep giving yourself to it, knowing that the resurrection is real and it is not a waste of time? Friends, let's pray together and then we'll sing a song to finish. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he gave himself for and labored for and expended himself for, that our sins might be forgiven and we might have the hope of eternal life and resurrection to come. Father, we thank you that each of us in this room in some form has been given some work to do. But we thank you, Father, for showing us that you've given us another job to juggle, another work to do. And we ask, Father, please, that we would give ourselves to that work, knowing that it is not a waste of time. Father, please help us to do that in our workplaces. Please help us to do that in the school playgrounds, in the classroom. Father, please, would you help us? Please, would you help us to do this work fully, invested in it? Father, please help us not to be spectators, but participators in this great work. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.